Okay, we are in the third discipline this week, amen? And we are talking about one of the things that much of the body doesn't do often is pray. We'll come to a concert, we'll come to a conference, we'll come to a teaching, but when it comes to a prayer meeting, oh Lord. It's getting better though, because I think times are coming in our, not just in our country, but in the world that we're being pressed to pray. Amen? Amen. Let's go to the Lord and we'll dive right in. I've been mulling over this pretty much all week. And because like I said, life will show you you need to pray. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for everyone in the room. Thank you for who they are. Thank you for allowing them to be here today. Now I ask that you would speak clearly through your word, through the vessels in this room, that the Holy Spirit would come and be our teacher. May we use our time wisely, and Father, multiply the time, expedite the time, in Christ's name, amen. I've been doing this for a while, and I know now that the Holy Spirit can speak in 5 minutes if he has to. And I've been places where, you know, they say, Dr. Rochester, we want you to encourage our people, and they give you 8 minutes. I'm like, really? Hallelujah. So you're in on the way in. Glory. Well, anyway. But that is a form of prayer. We'll talk about that in a minute. Let me ask a question. From last week, because I believe the word and prayer tie together, give me one or thing that stood out to you. Three people. One thing that God resonated in your soul, because these two are going to tie together. You'll see that today. One thing that spoke to your soul last week. Alrighty. Lord, bless your people this week, then. Nobody? What did the Lord speak to you last week? One of the reasons I do this, because just going to a class really doesn't confirm something in your heart. You just get the download in class. What we have to do later on is review it. That's where the processing takes place. Amen? Anybody? One thing. Yes, sir. But love edifies. Love edifies. Mm-hmm. Love edifies. God's power, God's love, the fruit, and the gifts have to work in tandem. Yes, sir. Amen. Let the word confirm the word. Before we had all of the books and the helps and the logo software and all that, all we had was what he left us. And the word, it says in Psalms that the sum of thy word is truth. Meaning in mathematical terms, what's the sum mean? That you total, you add it up. You can teach so many things. I can't go there because I'd be on a rant. I love seeing him in school and in all things. Someone else. One more thing and then we're going to dive in. Yes, ma'am. I'll go. Come on. Go ahead. The study acronym. Okay. Who remembers it? S is what? Settle down. Find a place where you can be still. Settle down. In my office at school, every now and then, times get very difficult. And I'm going to go right here because the settle down, then it was take up your tools. The U is understand your own issues or your underlying issues. D is dig for the truth. What is God telling you about that issue? Amen. And then Y, yield to the Holy Spirit and not your own ideas or ideology or your flesh. Amen. Because during the day, and this is what's so powerful to me about prayer and why God designed humans the way that he did. When I get in a time at school where everything seems to be coming at me, I have an office. My office is downstairs. It used to be a closet, literally. So I go into my closet, shut the door, and pray, amen. But it used to be a closet. Y'all are not laughing today. Hallelujah. And I transformed it into an office, have a door, they cut a window out, but I have a little drape over the window. So times that I need a minute and I need to pray and I don't want to be distracted, I drop the drape of the window and it appears as though I'm not in there, even when the light's on, but I am. And I just need that minute or that moment. And if they knock, I don't answer. And I tell my students and others, you know, when my quote-unquote office hours are, you know, but the first block of the day, that's my time, because it helps me to sort, because I'm there late at night. But come away, my beloved, is one of the things that Solomon says in the Song of Solomon. That's what he wants to do. Come away, my beloved, where we can go and be with him and he with us, that we can hear him and he hears us all the time. But we need to still our souls that we can hear him. That's what prayer is all about, because a conversation is not just one way. Amen? But we have been disciplined to think that prayer is all of us doing the talking and the petition and the asking and the come in humility, and we're doing all the talking. Have you ever had somebody call you and they just, they're just talking. You can't get a word in edgewise, and they're like, well, okay, baby, I gotta go. And then they hang up. You're like, what just happened, right? You're like, what happened? They're doing all the talking. They're like downloading. And there was no real conversation there. What they were doing was giving you information. And a lot of times what God does, he waits on us to be what? Still. What's the next part of that verse, which is so powerful? And know. That's it right there. Be still and know what? We can stop right there. That's what this is all about. Prayer is not essentially that we get our answers to the things that we're petitioning. Prayer is about you being connected with your Creator. And in the meantime, he does all those other things. You know it. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first, what? The kingdom of God. Watch this. We looked at this last week. Righteousness, peace, and joy. When you, and the Bible says, Psalm 16:11, we're talking about prayer. Somebody go there real quickly. Why did I say this righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost is all about prayer? What does Psalm 16:11 say? Or is it 11:16? Let me look. You're like, and anybody there? Is it 16:11? In his presence? In his presence is what? Uh-oh. In his presence, there's fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there's what? Pleasures forevermore. If we could just get in his presence, and you're going to see how last week that word, because God affirms his word, and prayer and worship, they all intertwine. We look at it like I do this discipline, that discipline, this discipline, but really it's all one in him. Am I making sense? Because how do we get into the presence of God? Here comes that worship piece. We enter his gates with what's first? Thanksgiving, and into his courts with, and when you get into the courts of the king, then you, what am I doing? Yeah, I'm bowing down and what? You worship. And then the king says, arise. What is it that you would ask of me? Have you ever seen the royalty movies? See, we don't know much about kingdom. He's trying to get us to understand, I welcome you into my presence. But sometimes, watch this, we are distracted by outer court stuff in ministry. Prayer is where we come and we commune with him. You know, you look at when the disciples asked Jesus, and then we're going to go to your sheet. They said, and really the count's really kind of powerful, because the disciples had been walking with him a lot. And there was one day Jesus wasn't with them. And they're looking for him because they're about to get busy, you know, to start their day. I get tickled about this. And he had been up all night, what? Praying. And they would see what would happen in his life throughout the day after he prayed. So Peter comes to him and he says, Lord, teach us to pray like you pray and things happen. Are y'all with me? Teach us to pray. They didn't say, Lord, teach us how to do miracles. Lord, teach us how to raise the dead. Teach us how to do business. They said, that's the one recording where you say, Lord, where they ask, teach us to pray. He said, when you pray, you being plural here, pray our what? Because he wants you to know, first and foremost, you are his child. Exclamation point. I had a young man this past week. I tell you, that's why I love teaching, because it is an incredible place of ministry, because you're with the students every single day. They see the good, the bad, and the ugly. They see how you handle your mess. They see how you handle the stress and the strain that comes to school. The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach all ethnos people groups, you know, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe. What are they seeing? All that I've commanded you. And this young man was literally in a place, big old burly football player, senior, about to go to college, play football. Came to my office like this. And I could see it all over his face. He was having a meltdown. And I could see it. I said, you okay? Well, and then he goes, I can't do it anymore. It's just too much. And he just goes on. I'm like, whoo. And I'm thinking to myself, where are the men that will be, watch now, observable and walk? What, when we talk about communicating with God in prayer, in Genesis, what did it say after they ate of the tree and covered themselves? It says that they heard the sound of God, what? Whoa, walking where? In the garden, in the what? In the cool of the day. Why? It was a time where they walked and talked. Do you remember your grandmama? My grandmama used to sing this song. I come to the garden, what? While the dew is still on the roses, early in the morning. Ain't no, why? Because there's not a bunch of distractions yet. And the voice I hear falling on my ear. Are you following me? My personal. And I think sometimes in Christendom, we forget about the personal connectedness. We get busy with Christianity. We get busy with, I've got to be disciples so I can be strengthened, so I can go do the mission and the mandate of God. And that is all true. Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. But you still have to have a walking relationship with the Lord. Am I making sense? Y'all still with me? And I looked in his face and I could just see he was so upset. And I know he knows Jesus. I know he's a Christian. But sometimes things have to be modeled for you and somebody has to walk you through. That's why he said in the garden, after he gave the command and knew what it was going to be like in the garden, he said, before he gave Adam, Eve, he said, it's not good that man be what? Alone. I'm going to send you a helper. And he sent us a helper. He said, I'm not going to leave you like orphans. I'm going to send you a helper, the Holy Ghost, someone to walk with you. Are you following what I'm saying? Because his job is, if we know God in relationship, we've been in the Word of God, and when we're in prayer, how does he talk to us? By reminding us of everything he said to us. Now, some people say, well, I heard God say. And sometimes I think we need to be very careful when we do that. No, seriously. Because you have some people, we got a generation coming behind us that hasn't walked the walk, doesn't really have a relationship with him, that's trying to grow in it, and they're thinking they have to hear an audible point, 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 point. And then when they don't, they go to watch now current day media to learn how to do warfare. You with me? What was the biggest show that was out about warfare that everybody was watching? Think about Kingdom. Yeah. I mean, all the games are what? About warfare. I don't have time. Another day, another talk. We'll go there next week, because week after next week's Resurrection Sunday. Anyway, every day is Resurrection Day. But I think what happens, the distractions. This is why prayer time is so important, where you find a place alone with him to learn to hear his voice. And his voice, it is in, listen, now don't, this is not weird. He made you a human being. You are made of the dirt, right? The dust of the earth. I draw a brain almost every week, don't I? Why? Because he talks to us, listen to me, in our conscious mind, in our subconscious mind. He reminds you. Are you following me? There have been things you've seen, you've heard, you've tasted, you've touched, you've smelt, that he can remind you of something he said. When Jesus was walking amongst the lilies, he didn't say, John, will you grab those lilies and bring them over here? Behold the lilies, and John holds them up. No, he was walking amongst the lilies and talking to his disciples. Behold the lilies, they don't toil. And a sparrow. I believe there was a sparrow in the place, and he was talking them through everything that they would see in life day to day. Very universal, too, that it doesn't matter where you come from, the culture, the ethnicity, the age. A tree is still a tree. Water is still water. An apple is still an apple. Are you following what I'm saying? A seed will still do what a seed does. So in conversation, God will always talk to you in prayer. Listen to me carefully. I love this. In a language that you understand. This is so important. Did you hear what I said? Now, I'm going to talk about how he talks in principle of prayer, and then we're going to walk through your sheet. Can I do it this way? Y'all with me? Because prayer, like I said, I'm not going to insult your intelligence of reading. And then literally, what doesn't it happen every week? We go back to the thing and, oh, we already did all those. You see what I'm saying? Because, see, Pastor Bruce wrote the notes. I just teach the notes. But he gives me freedom to teach them the way that I teach them. To trust that you'll read them. Amen? But there's going to be things you're hearing and you're seeing. And you're going to be prompted to see things that I never see. Because each of us are individuals, you know, expressing God's glory in the earth. There is a part of your brain right in here called the limbic system, okay? There's two major players, the amygdala and the hippocampus, that I want to remind you of. Because most of us, if we don't have a routine of prayer, we're driven to prayer. Because of crisis, somebody came to us and told us something, and, oh, I couldn't get you off my mind. I've been praying for you all morning long. You follow what I'm saying? And we are reminded, because I tell my students, the gateway to your mind, you with me, is your five senses. He made you this way. What I see, hear, taste, touch, and smell. Are you with me still? He knows how he made you. When you go through life, there are things that are going to cause you to fear. Amygdala, that thing starts firing. And a lot of times it fires and it's connected to the hippocampus. Listen to me carefully, all right? Amygdala. Sorry, it's Sunday morning. I'm not at school, not in that mode yet. And this one here is the hippocampus. I had one student say, yeah, you know that part, the hippopotamus? I said, no, baby, hippocampus. I know it sounds like that, but it's good. That's all good. I know what you meant. I know what you meant. The hippocampus. Now, I want you to see something. Woo! I just saw this one. I got to get my red pen now. Y'all all right? Can you all see the board? Look at this word. What's here? Camp and campus. Camp, this deals with memory. Are you with me? Sometimes things just camp in our mind and we can't get, and this right here, like I said, amygdala deals with fear, emotions, strong emotions. Y'all with me? But the biggest, strongest emotion is fear. And that's why God says 365 times plus, fear what? Not. Why? Because he knows that is the greatest thing that'll be on our mind, that'll keep us from sometimes running to him when we need to go there all the time. Are y'all with me still? This piece right here, if we can show not only the next generation, but us, if we can learn how to, remember, I think I said this a couple of weeks ago, that fear is false evidence appearing real. You with me? That when we are terrified by something or overburdened by something or traumatized by something in our emotions, God never intended for that to crush us. Are you following me? That was never God's intention. But sometimes God allows things to happen so you run to him. Into that throne room, into that garden alone. Sometimes you come in tears. Sometimes you come in joy and thankfulness. Am I making sense? But he wants us. How many of y'all have a best friend? That's your boo, and you know what to do. You just talk to your boo. Oh, I know they know. And, you have somebody that you know really knows you well, and you tell them everything. Not everything, everything. You tell everything. They know the good, the bad, the ugly, and they still love you, and you know it. That's our God is like that. And he wants us to come to him like we would go to that boo. Because there's sometimes boo ain't going to be there. And you've got to know that he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. It says that what a nursing mother, think about a nurturing mother, forget the child of her womb. Yeah, even those forget, but I've inscribed you in the palms of my hand. And that inscribing, back in the day, it's like tattoo ink. It's indelible ink. Ain't going nowhere. He is intimately, the Bible says, acquainted with your ways and my ways. But we sometimes don't know that because you get to know Yahweh by being in the way of the Word. And then he reminds you of the truth in prayer. And here's what's so powerful. The Bible says the Word is living and what? And sometimes when you're in your emotions, then he reminds you. Re means to do over again, like Rene. He had to do me over again. Hallelujah. And still doing it. It actually means born anew or born again in French. I was destined. It just had to happen for me. Amen? Thou shalt have a child, call her Rene. No, it didn't happen like that, but you know, coulda. But what I want to encourage you in, and for a long time, y'all, let me be candid with you. A long time, I loved to study his word. When I get saved, I became a lover of the word of God because I didn't know anything about God. I never had read the Bible. I didn't know that there were three Johns, you know? Actually, four, first, second, and third, John epistles, Gospel of John. I mean, I was like, what? I didn't know anything. And I started asking God questions about everything. And I said, God, you answer this because the Bible says, we looked at this when we talked about the Word, God's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And a lot of times the Lord will challenge me and say, daughter, did you ask me? Well, Lord, you know, I was talking to so-and-so and, you know, everything, all the, watch now, the stars were lining up. Everything was just happening right. You know, obviously it was you. He said, did you ask me? And my prayer life was not as strong, listen to me carefully, as my study time. I loved to study. And the Lord said, yeah, you do. But when are you going to get away with me? Just you and me. I'll download into you things that you would never pick up from that book, this book, that book, that software. Come away. Because sometimes when you are not in the garden alone, there's a whole lot of other distractions. Are you following me? And this piece here, because he knows how he made us, we're reminded by stuff that can bring fear and anxiety and pressure and frustration just by something we see. My stepdaddy wore Old Spice. So if I'm walking through the mall and I see a brother or somebody walk by me and I smell that smell, now the brother might be, he's so fine. No, I'm kidding. that was a joke, okay? Okay, all right. Woo! But I instantly, in my mind, Old Spice, I can see my stepdaddy. When I hear the song, Tears of a Clown, Smokey, back in the day, that was a song playing on the radio when my dad passed away. So when I hear that song, I can smell, listen to me, what my grandmother was cooking in the kitchen. You follow what I'm saying? This is how he made you. Why? Because when you learn to know him that way, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Fill my cup, Lord, till it overflows. He numbers every hair on your head. Let your light so shine before men that those who see your good works will glorify your Father who's in heaven. Do you see what I'm doing? He told the children of Israel to teach the children. They don't do this on their own. They don't know how. I saw that man come in my office the other day, and nobody had showed him how to cast his cares on the Lord. He was about to just, and you know what stirred it? I drew this in my class that day. I said, sometimes, actually, every one of us, I said, has an HSO bag. Hurts, slights, and offenses. And throughout our day, this little bag fills up. And if we don't learn how to empty it out, eventually it will what? I did an illustration. I told him this. I said, we're not going to do this today because this just came up. And this was the day before he, actually it was the day of, he came to my office after practice. I said, I used to do this illustration in class. I'd give everybody a balloon, and inside the balloon, I'd already poured a little bit of powder inside the balloon, flour inside the balloon. And I said, then I would talk about the HSO bag, and then I would talk about something that would hurt, something where you feel slighted or offended. And every time something came out like that, they'd have to blow into their balloons. Until the balloons were pretty big. And they weren't big balloons. I made them small enough to where I knew if they blew enough air in them, they would eventually what? Now, some of them burst because people were blowing air into them, and then they would burst. And others, I would just be that crisis incident, and I'd go around popping. And they didn't know whose I was going to pop. But when it popped, powder went all over the person, mostly, and then over other people. I said, that's what we do a lot of times when we don't know how to come unto me, all you weary and heavy laden. That's what prayer is all about. And I will give you rest. Rest for your soul, suke, how you think, feel, and choose to do something. Thank you, sir. You with me? This is method of prayer. Then we're going to look at your sheet, talk about benefit, why, who, did, Jesus modeled it. But I want you to see the reality of who we are. And nobody, this is what he said when he's like, I can't do this. This is what he said. He goes, my bag, it's about to burst. And then on Friday, God be my witness, Friday afternoon, we went to dinner, right? Early Friday evening. I had another young man come to me. And my heart was this, guys, where are my brothers in this building that's talking to these boys and walking with them? Do you follow me? You just need to man up. You just need to know, you know, this is what you got to be a man. And listen, we're going to win these. We are a good sports school. You hear me? And they know how to win. They know how to do a lot of stuff. But I want to know who's walking with them. Teach them how to walk in the garden alone. Teach them how to cast their cares upon the Lord. And actually, this is why this is so powerful. This is why we need one another in prayer. And we don't pray alone all the time, but some of the time. You with me? Is because when Peter said, cast your cares upon the Lord, he was a fisherman. Remember, God speaks in a what? Language you understand. Cast your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. Those fishermen fished in what we call tandem, and they fished with nets that had weights on the bottom of them. And this is why the verse before it says, God bestows the proud, but he gives grace to the who? Humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due season, casting your cares upon him because he cares for you. Because in order to cast your net that has weights on them, you've got to humble yourself and ask for help. Somebody grab the other side of that net that has weights on it and cast that thing with you. Powerful principle. First time I saw that, I'm like, whoo, because I grew up because my mother had to be strong, twice widowed, and we as young black women were taught to be strong, you know. Girl, you got to get it yourself, you know, if it's not going to happen. And there, it was built in my fiber. Well, I can get this done. I just got to go to the Lord and we'll just pray it out. And there are some things I couldn't pray it out by myself. You with me still? So it's a principle, and there's so many principles about prayer, because really the whole idea is that we are made into his likeness because we've been in his presence with him. When Moses went to go be with the Lord on the mountain, every time he came down, what happened? Yeah, because he had seen the glory. Actually, the backside, because God wouldn't even show him the front side, but just being in the presence of the aura of God. But he had to be veiled when he came down, because see, something he changed because he was in God's presence. That's what it does for us. Amen. He changes us in prayer and in conversation. You have your own mind. That's why, you know, when it says this, Solomon said this, and as he got older, he was writing all these things when he said, trust in the Lord with what? Lean not to your own what? What you think about the matter, because you think about all the things that came through your gateway. That's why God says that he wants to do what with your mind and in prayer and in the word? What? Yay! Renew it. You've got to think a different way now. And every time you're with somebody who's close to you and a good friend, they might say something like this. Okay, I feel you. I hear you. But have you ever thought about this? And you pause for a minute. It's like, oh, that makes so much sense. That's what he wants to do. He wants to dialogue with us. But dialogue can't happen if you're doing all the talking. Dialogue can't happen if you think you can handle it all. How many of y'all have ever gone to the grocery store and you just know, I'm only going to go get those two or three things, so you don't get a carriage. You don't get one of them little baskets. Publix are green. I don't know. I think Kroger's are red. I don't know. But, and you don't get your little basket. And you come and you got stuff like this, and God says to you, should have got a basket. You understand what I'm saying? We're trying to carry all this stuff. He said, you weren't designed to carry it. Sorry. I'm my crazy self. I went to the grocery store 3 times the other day. But anyway, I'm serious. God says, write it down. Write a list. Scribe the vision on tablets. Make it plain. Okay, hallelujah. That was just the introduction. I got 15 minutes to walk through your sheets. We can do that as a good teacher. Does this make sense? Because he made us in a way where he designed us, that we were not designed, the capacity of who we are. 365 times in the Bible, plus it says, fear not. You know, and God gives answers or promises to it. Things that we come to, and there's nothing wrong with asking God for things. That's great. But you ask of your who? Your heavenly, our Father which art in heaven, we hallow your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on. That's what it's about. So when we live a life of prayer, it's a time for us, we just talked about this, to commune with God. Amen? When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. Why does David say that in the garden? See, David had to read the writings of old, right? Jewish boy. Your face will I seek. He came in the garden looking for Adam. This is what he said. Now, listen. He had already made Adam and Eve. Namesake. You with me? But when he said, Adam, where are you? He was not looking for the man, Adam. Did you hear what I said? He was speaking Adam, meaning where are the Adam species I made in my image and in my likeness? Both of them. In the image of God created he him, male and female. Are you with me? It means, sisters, we ain't off the hook. We got to hear God too. Amen? Both of us. He says, Adam, where are you? He's looking for the species he made in his image and in his likeness. But see, the minute, watch this, that they ate of the tree, the Bible says they're what were awakened? Their senses were awakened. Are you with me? So now the God that they communed with that they could not see, y'all with me here? But they communicated spirit to spirit. That's why he knew where they were. They didn't know where they were. Are you following what I'm saying? Meaning they didn't know where, you know, when's he coming? You know, they were disconnected in their spirit. Are y'all following me? Because they had already eaten. Are y'all with me still? So he says, where are you? In other words, he was expecting them. Lionel Harris had a song called I Miss My Time With You. Powerful. Yeah, I know now we get Apple Music or whatever, Spotify, you can go get that song. But I miss my time with you. Very, very powerful. Talking about us, we don't spend that time. So we seek his face. And it's also to pursue him. What do children do? I love this. What do children do? The development unit is my favorite unit to teach in my class. Little children, they always, when they are developing, their little brains are going like crazy, firing. They always want to ask what question? Why? Well, baby, because it's a cup. Why? Well, we pour stuff in it, we drink. Why? You know? That's what he's saying to us. Can you come like a child? That's what he says. Come inquisitive. Father, why? You've been taught, don't ask God why, you know? No, that's not what, that's a different kind of why. But you come because you're like a child and you don't want to lean to your own understanding. Father, why did you say, and I tell people all the time, ask of me, ask of the text. Sometimes you learn more from what's not said than what's said. Y'all with me? Ask him. Sometimes we don't talk to him. Just ask him. I ask a lot of questions. Jeremiah 33:3 says, call upon me and I will answer you and tell you great and mighty things which you know not. Amen? I'm asking. Now, Lord, like I go in my office, or sometimes I just have to go for a walk and I talk to him. Like, Lord, I don't understand why this. So I need your grace to show me this. And Father, your word says this. And I speak his word back to him. So how do I work that out today, Lord? Help me. Grant me grace to flesh out this right now. Because I'm angry. Do you see what I'm doing? I'm talking to him. But what we've been trained to do in our little charismatic background, we get all fired up and we just confess the word. We're going to just confess the word. That's okay. But God wants us to conversate with him. Confessing the word and conversating in relationship are two different things. Think about the phone call again. And you're just talking and the other person's not dialoguing with you. Why do you think it says seek my face? Question. Why do you think it says seek my face? Why do you think it would use that term? My face. Seek my face. Think about being in conversation with somebody else. Okay, don't get distracted. Great thought. What else? See, I said Holy Ghost is a teacher. What else? Why? Seek my face. Talking about prayer.
When you see a person, look at them.
Yep, and what did you say?
Oh,
boy. You see the expressions of how they're responding. Are you with me? Whee! He'll start reminding you of his truth. Listen, we think he can't handle our frustration. You read the Psalms real carefully. David talked to God, and he was mad sometimes. He fussed. God, what are you doing? My kids, And God is, listen, he big enough.
Yeah.
He ain't scared. He can handle your stuff. Because sometimes we come to him, watch now, like a father that either we never had a relationship with or a dominating father. Are you following what I'm saying? Don't get it twisted. He is not like your earthly mama or daddy. He is almighty God, sits above and alone all by himself. He governs from glory. He is intimately acquainted with all of your ways. He understands everything that you think and you feel. Because the Bible tells us this later on in the text of your packet. It says this. We don't have a high priest who can't sympathize with our weaknesses. But one who's been tempted in all things just like us. Yet without sin. Therefore, and every time there's a therefore, look back and see what it's there for. Because he understands. Been there, done that. Therefore, let us come to the throne room of what? Grace. To find mercy and grace to help in time of need. Y'all, in time of need, the word now is present forever. You with me? No matter when you come. Now God is there. Do y'all hear what I'm saying here? He understands. I mean, we're living a world right now where all the young people in there, there's a rising up with the women, and some of it, you know, is very, very real and true, and people have been wounded, and it's called the Me Too movement. Well, there's one who sits high, seated at the right hand of the Father, that says, Me Too. Been there, done that. Me Too. He's got an answer, y'all, for everything. You might not get the answer when you want it, because he's working some things out in you, but you get it when he's on time with when you need it and can handle it. Are y'all still with me? Okay, thoughts, comments, ahas, and then we're going to walk through the sheets. Am I making sense? Are y'all encouraged? Are y'all scared? Are y'all all right? Go on. This is for... Yeah, this that space. This that space. Man, I missed those muffins. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah,
sorry.
That was really good of why he says that being a humbling process and how we do need, you know. And I also think it's powerful how you said that doesn't need to be taught. We're taught so much to be strong, you know, and male and female.
Yeah. That's what we're taught.
And to me, that kind of brings it back to the yoking part, too. Because that just the whole visual of everything and seeing it in my head, how if you don't have, you know, even if you don't have someone to help cast, you need to have somebody to walk with you and kind of show you the way.
Yes. 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 Our motto here is about discipleship. But discipleship's not just taking somebody through the blue book, purple book, whatever book. Discipleship is living life with somebody and walking life with somebody. I had a young lady drive all the way from St. Louis to spend one day just to hang out with me. She came Friday evening, got here about 7:30, didn't she? Came at 7:30. She left last night at 8:30. Had to get back because they had practice today. This morning, I said, I wish she didn't have to drive it. I don't like them having to get on the road. But, and then just hanging out, I said, you want to learn from me? It's not going to be in just a Bible study. I said, just hang out with me. Let's go eat. You know what she did with me? I told her, you can come, baby, but I work all week, late, long. I got stuff I got to do. And I said, you are welcome. Thank you, sir. You're welcome to help me out. So she came and we cleared out this because, and this is how God does stuff. It's so funny because I would have never, you know, done all of that I did yesterday by myself. I couldn't have. And here's what happened. When I had diagnosed with cancer, or when you go through rough spaces in your life or your journey, you don't have the energy sometimes to deal with certain things, so you just pack it and stuff it. That's what we do sometimes with our emotions. And you put it away in a closet or in an attic room or something, because I just don't have time to do that right now. You with me still? Different seasons of life. Oh, don't want to see any of that, so you just kind of pack it away. Well, yesterday, the night that she came up, I said, now I got a guest bedroom up there, and they have their own bathroom and the towels and everything, and the thermostat upstairs, if I'm not up there a whole lot, I ain't running the air up there or the heat up there. If I ain't up there, yeah, you know. Anyway, so I wanted to go up to check the thermostat, make sure she was comfortable, and it was blank. There was nothing on the thermostat. I'm like, and she goes, oh, you just need to change the battery. But this one, them old school ones, there wasn't no battery you could see to take out and put one in. So I called my friend who had this guy. He put in my new heating unit, and heating, cooling unit, all in one, whatever. I don't know all the complications, but I know this, that it has a switch that you trip and it's up in the attic. And I thought, if he got to come here and get up in that attic, oh, Lord, he got to get through that closet. Jesus! So I thought, oh! And I wouldn't have done this had she not come. I wouldn't have noticed. I wouldn't have even known that it was out. But in the summertime, it can get hot up there. So I thought, okay. So I said, I was going to vacuum and dust. She goes, oh, I'll run the Swiffer for you. I said, great. I said, but right now, since this ain't working, he told me, we got to clean out this closet. You ready? Oh, she got into it. And all the while, she's asking questions. And every now and then, we just stopped and prayed. And asking questions, and just talking, and we laughed. We went to lunch and came back, and every now, asking questions. Had a little meltdown here. You understand what I'm saying? But it wasn't because you were sitting in a class. It was this. Walking. But praying with her. Praying through real life. Not just get all these scriptures that you can know so you can go tell somebody they need to get saved. That comes naturally in relationship too. Amen? Okay. Whew. I got like 11 minutes. We're good. Y'all all right? Anybody else? Something you've heard standing out thus far this morning? Good. Go here and then here. Is it Paul? Yes, Paul. That's what that young man was doing. Good. Amen. You hear the word that he said, the perception? And I tell my students this, perception's reality to the one who perceives it. That perception can become your reality, and it might not be the right perception. But that's why, like I said, that's why it's interesting that the word comes before the prayer discipline in this unit, because the way God speaks to us is through his word. The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Truth. He will never remind you, John 14:26, of anything that doesn't fall in line with the truth of God's word. And when you don't know what God's saying, I remember, Paul, one thing I did, because I grew up not having an earthly daddy on a consistent, you know, he died when I was 9 months old. My stepdad died when I was 11. My mother never remarried. And so everybody kept talking about the father, heart of God, the father this, the father that. So I did a study on God the Father. And this is back in the day. They had those old school word processors, you know, the little screen would come up and like a little typewriter. I mean, old school. She pulled out a closet out of one bag. I have so many bags because I was in the sport world for a long time, still am to some degree on the board of Athletes in Action, been on the board of FCA. And so every time you go somewhere, a board member, they give you a bag or clothing that has their logo on it. And in this one bag, I said, well, it's a nice bag. We'll give that away to Goodwill. So she pulls out, there were floppy disks, y'all. I said, ooh, Jesus. I said, woo! And sometimes God's going to go get that old stuff and clean it out. Amen? Okay. Woo! Make it make sense. Yes, sir.
Right now, what I'm trying to wrap my head around is like, you know, your brain is always firing and all that stuff.
Yeah, the brain fires because that's how we live. Yes, sir.
You're trying to get the prayer clause and stuff. Your brain just gets you going. So the discernment of which one is God's voice, and it's your own perception. Or
good.
How?
Good question. He goes, when the brain's firing so, how do you discern, is it you, is it God? The first thing I would tell people is just, first you got to just be still. And that's hard because we're noise people. Be still. No. We want the music. We want to set the mood. We want to do all these things. But just be still for but a moment. God is big enough. And what the Lord does, the reminder, like I said, the Holy Spirit reminds us of truth. And it might not be a verse like verbatim, you know, but it will be portions of truth that you heard, but it will coincide with the Word of God. If it's, watch now, if it's uplifting God and uplifting man. The Holy Spirit, by the way, is very specific. If it's vague stuff and makes you feel bad, that's called a spirit of condemnation. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is very specific. If there's a specific thing that you got to deal with, the Holy Spirit's big enough to point right to that thing. Are you following what I'm saying? If there's confusion, you just pray that text. Father, I thank you. Your word says you are not the author of confusion. And I need some clarity right now. Just talk that talk to them. And I think that's what happens. We're not used to conversating with them about stuff. And Lily asked me, that's her nickname. Yes, sir. She asked me, she goes, how do you talk to God? Like I said, baby, I said, first of all, I've been in a relationship a little while. I've been walking with Jesus longer than you've been alive. You know, she's 25. I've been walking with Jesus since 1980. And I said, it's there are hills and valleys and stuck places, messed up places, I said, but it's been a journey. I said, the closer you are to somebody is because you spent time with them over time. And so he will begin to reveal to you those things. Did I write my email up here for you guys the first week? Email me. I've got a couple of things that I think will help you with that specific thing. Okay. All right, let's keep going because I probably have like 8 minutes. Is that what I get, roughly? Okay, all right, cool. We've already talked about this, that prayer is a lifestyle. Amen? A life of prayer is characterized by devotion, determination, and discipline. Colossians, you know, it talks about this, but the Acts scripture, that's where it says they continue devoting themselves. See, you're not alone here. Themselves. This was the early church, okay? Epaphras, who is one of you and a servant of Christ, sends greetings. He's always wrestling in prayer for you. This is Colossians 4:12. He's always what? Wrestling in prayer for you. And back in that day, he's talking to the Colossian culture. Are you with me? Greco-Roman wrestling is what he's alluding to. The Greco-Roman wrestlers wrestled pretty much close to naked oil on their bodies, buff athletes, and they wrestled on their hands and knees. You ever see a wrestling match now where they start, you know, here, and then they're here when they have to get into that next phase? But they wrestled on their hands and knees. Yeah, we wrestle on our hands and knees in prayer. Amen? That's why it says in Ephesians, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities, rulers of forces of wickedness in heavenly realms. Amen? Acts 1:14, it says, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women. I love it, love it, love it, love it. The women were all up in the space. See, another day, another talk. Hallelujah. All right. And Mary, the mother of Jesus, with his brothers. Number three, Jesus lived a life of prayer. I love it. We talked about this at the beginning. Amen. They came to him. They found that he was alone. He had spent all night in prayer. Mark 1:35 says, very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a what kind of place? You know, the text says this. It's a solitary place. Alone. I come to the garden alone. All right? A solitary place where he prayed. Solitary place. Because the biggest piece here, get rid of the distractions. We have so much that distracts us. My kids, majority of them sleep with that phone right there in the bed with them. Or right there on the nightstand. Ding, ding, ding. When they take an exam in my class, they're not supposed to have their phones on their person. The guys always have them in this front pocket. I don't know why. And I said, get them off your person, put them in your backpack. And so while they're taking the test, I hear this bing. I said, next time, turn it off. Anyway, he prayed with his disciples. Luke 9:28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, John, and James with him. Those were his three boys. I mean, Peter, James, and John. Those are three of the four first disciples. This was his inner circle. When he went to the place of the Garden of Gethsemane, where he was fully God, yet fully man, but his emotions were crushing him at the time. He's about to go to Golgotha, and this is that week. This is Holy Week, starts today. And he said, come, pray with me. And them brothers, the closest one to him. Could you not watch with me for an hour? And he said, your what? Your spirit is willing, but your what? Flesh is weak. That's why you don't do it alone. Amen? So he prayed with his disciples. Luke 9:28. About 8 days after Jesus said this, he took Peter, James, and John, like I said, up to the mountain to pray. He had already taught them how to pray so that when he needed them to pray, they'd already been there, done that. Make sense? All right. A balanced life of prayer contains a good mix of private prayer and corporate prayer. That's why I said we don't do it what? The benefits of a life of prayer, we learn to depend on God and not ourselves. We've already talked about this. Amen? Self-reliance is one of the core of man's determination to live on his own terms. That's what we tend to do. I got this. And that's the kids. My kids say, I got this, Doc. I got this. Oh, you do you? Well, I think I did good on the test. They made a 62. What? You know, I think I did good. No. And today, the technology world, listen, there is no shortcut to prayer. You just go do it. And sometimes you're there long, sometimes you're not. And I told this young man, I said, baby, did you read the chapter? Well, no, you know, I did. I said, listen, if I invited you to my home and you've never been there before, you don't know the directions, how can you take a shortcut if you ain't never been there? He looked at me. I said, mm-hmm. All right. 2 Corinthians 1:8-9, you know, you begin to see, and I think that's one of the texts, but it just talks about that God, he himself, I love it, that Jesus, it also says, and write this reference down, I don't know if it's in it, Hebrews 5:7, it says, in the days of his flesh, or when he was in his earth suit, he offered up loud crying and tears to the only one able to save him. So he cried out to God, literally, the Father. Jesus did. Hebrews 5:7 talks about that. Moses, so saturated with God's presence that he needed a veil. We've already talked about this. See, I told you how it comes up. I'm like, look at the Lord, the Lord, the Lord. Anyway, okay, so. All we with unveiled faces, we behold. This was one of the verses that Lily brought up. She goes, I've been thinking about that verse. And I showed it to her in the Amplified Bible. It says that we behold as a veil the mirror of the Word of God. We are transfigured from one degree of glory to another. When you get in the mirror in the morning, some of us spend more time than others. You know how it is. Like, I was running today trying to... But when you're in the mirror, you make adjustments. When you're in the mirror of the Word of God, Holy Ghost makes adjustments. Amen? God directs us, number two, concerning His will for our lives. As you were saying, how do I discern whether it's me, whether it's God? In those times of prayer, the Bible says in Acts 13:2, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me. Who said it? The Holy Spirit. He'll remind you of something. And it might not be, like I said, an audible voice, but He'll remind you of something, or He'll show you something that you did before that you might want to encourage someone else to do. He'll remind you of something you saw or heard the preacher say, or something you read in the Word. That's how He directs. But it always coincides with the Word of God. Amen? Like I said, let's go have tea or coffee sometime. We talk more about this stuff. Just hang out. All right? Email me. Oh, all right. So, 4 days ago to this hour, as you read through the book of Acts, is really the most powerful book for me to see how the early church fleshed out prayer, reading of the Word, and fellowship. It's a really neat book because you're reading the storyline, and actually Luke is writing from other people dialoguing with him. Some of it, Paul's just telling him what was going on. Luke was his physician. Amen? So he's dialoguing what he's heard other people say. Number three, God strengthens us against adversity. I want to show you one illustration. We already talked about being alone in solitude and prayer. Amen? We've already talked about that. Practice solitude. Number two, I'm going to show you an illustration on the board in just a minute. We practice solitude to be restored physically and spiritually. Amen? Sometimes rest is the only way the body heals. We practice solitude to maintain spiritual perspective. Why? Because God will speak to you, show you what you need. Intercession is the last type of prayer. That's where you go in. And you can look up those verses. Like I said, I don't want to insult your intelligence, but I want to draw one illustration on the board as we close, and this might drive it home for you. This helped me to get a better perspective, and I also use the same illustration, and it's right now, if you came to my office, it's on the board, because the second young man that came to my office, I drew this on the board, because this is what he said to me. He said, Doc, he goes, you know, sophomore year, you know, I really felt like I gave my life to Christ. And I was excited. I even got baptized. Coach Norris, you know, he got me baptized. And he goes, and everything was clicking. It was going good. And they told me I was going to start. I was going to get to play in the game. And then I got hurt. And I was out the whole season. Where was God then? That's what he said to me. I said, oh, okay, I feel you. He goes, and then it's like, why would God? And he just went on. And I let him talk. I just sat across my desk. I said, can I show you something? I said, I feel you. I said, sweet, let me tell you something. Mine wasn't about starting in a game. Mine was about going to the Olympics. and I've been where you are, is what I told him. I want to show you. We talk about prayer. Our God sits high. Amen? But here, this is that realm of spiritual warfare. The Bible says that we don't wage war against flesh and blood, against powers and rulers of principalities, forces of wickedness, where? In the what? Are you with me? Heavenlies or high places. This, now I want to put right here this word. With me? Spiritual warfare. Yeah. All right, you got this? We're almost done. Hang on. Now, we're down here on earth. Y'all with me? But remember the first picture I drew before? I'm going to draw a little picture here. The red's going to be your spirit man. You with me? You're born again. That changes instantly. Instantly. Your soul or your psuche, your mind, your will, your emotions, that's how I think, how I feel, what I choose to do. That's the psuche, the soul. And then we live in a what? What did we say the gateway to our mind was? Our five senses. You with me? Now, the enemy, what he wants to do is come at you this way. And the one thing he cannot do If you're a child of God, that's what I told him. I said, he cannot come. We talked about the brain has a blood-brain barrier. Certain chemicals can't cross that barrier. Well, the enemy can't cross the blood-brain barrier. He can do nothing to your spirit, but he can torment your what? Your soul, and that's part of the mind. Are you with me? But he comes from the outside in. Are you following me still? He goes, but Doc, I prayed. I said, I know you did. Now watch. The day you prayed, instantly, that prayer hit the portals of glory, instantly. Here's what's happened to most of us. The answer already reached him. The day you opened your lips, he heard. Read Daniel chapter 10, it'll clarify. Daniel prayed for 21 days. Angel said, get up, God sent me. Here's what happened. His prayer was interrupted. Delay does not mean denial. You hear what I said? His prayer was interrupted. There was war going on in the heavenlies, but he said, Michael came and helped me, and now there was a breakthrough. I said, sweetheart, here's what goes on. You pray, God hears, God answers. Now, the receptive side of that, God's trying to do one thing. God is trying to grow your faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the what? God's trying to grow your faith, and the enemy's trying to grow this or get you to doubt, fear, despair. You with me? He's trying to get you to leave God, doubt God, be discouraged, depressed, frustrated, but God's trying to grow this. That's the work in progress. But when we pray, God already heard. Let's pray. We got to stop. Oh, I love this. I love sharing with you. Thank you for allowing me to be me with you. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity to come together. Thank you for the word that is real, that it's rich, that it's on time. Father, I pray that we could continue to fellowship with one another. Father, not just doing the church thing, but that we would fellowship with one another and encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, that we would learn how to call on you in the midst of whatever we're doing, that we can stop and pray. People stop, drop, and roll when there's fire. We can stop, drop to our knees and pray when we're in crisis. We can stop, drop, and pray when we just want to celebrate you. So, Lord, teach us, Father, how to one another in prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.